For our brief time of meditation before we partake of the supper itself, I'd like you to turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Again, we have read this numbers of times, and I have read it prior to our meditation numbers of times. But I want to do so again tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. As many of us remember, in the church at Corinth, there were many difficulties, many areas where it is almost unbelievable, perhaps, to us to realize that the church was going through some of the difficulties and some of the things that they were enduring. But we learned from them. Thank God we learned from them. And hopefully we'll learn even more from them in the instruction that comes by way of their mistakes. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we have here recorded to us the order of the Lord's Supper reminded to the church at Corinth for us also. But in doing so, we find something going on in that church which warranted the command of direction to them. We'll begin our reading again with verse 17. We'll note the condition of the church, the condition of what was happening during the Lord's Supper prior to the instruction the apostle gives. Verse 17. Now, in giving these instructions, he's instructing them periodically through this the last couple of chapters. Giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if one is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come." I want us to focus upon the instruction that the Lord gave to the church. And in particular, using this one particular word that he uses, and that is the statement where he says, "You are often to do this." According to the gospel writers, which we read earlier in Luke's record of this, we, as God's people, are commanded to do this. This "do" is referred to when it has to do with the Lord's Supper. The Apostle Paul, in repeating these words, as he does here to the Corinthian church, also uses the word "often." Often. The participation in the Lord's Supper is to be done often. Now, the idea is, I think, as we have need for food, for nourishment of our bodies, for our bodies, we also have need for nourishment of our souls, spiritual needs. And in this service, in the remembrance of Christ's death, we have this help to meet our needs. So what we're finding is there is great help, great value, great benefit that the Lord has for us in the remembrance of Christ's death in this Lord's Supper. Now, 3 months ago, 2nd of October last year, we spoke on this subject, and we're looking to some of the benefits that are ours by the remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in doing so, we first of all saw that there was the need that we have to be washed or to be cleansed in the blood of Christ because of our sins. How often it is true that we can say that we understand the need of being washed in the blood of Christ. Now, that doesn't have the idea that we need to be saved again. That's not the point. But because of remaining sin, our sense of guilt has defiled our consciences. And so we again need that reminder of what the blood of Christ has done for us, where we are cleansed and washed. We do again need to understand the value of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the cleansing value of that blood, which comes, of course, by his death for us. So we saw the need of being washed. Secondly, we also saw the need of having peace. And here in the remembrance of our Lord's death, we understand the evidence by which he speaks peace to our conscience. How can we have peace? It is because of Christ's death that we can have peace with God. And here is where pardon for our sins has been confirmed in the blood of Christ. So, secondly, we notice we have peace and the reminder of Christ's death. Thirdly, we said there's a need for spiritual life to be renewed. We often find ourselves dull spiritually. It's a shame that that's the case, but it is the reality of our old flesh and our remaining sin. We are dull. Perhaps we could even use the word lukewarm. And here in this place, with the elements before us and the reminder of Christ's death there, our hearts and our minds are influenced by this momentous event that occurred so many years ago. And there is warmth and liveliness that comes to us because of that. So we find there is the benefit of having the cleansing blood of Christ, the peace that is offered to us, and then also the spiritual renewal that comes to our minds. And then we also saw, fourthly, that we often need to have our hard hearts broken, softened. It's a shame that that's the case, but we have that experience. I'm sure most of you know. And this is the need for renewed repentance. There are times when we need to come and face the reality of our sins and repent before God again. And what better place to see that and experience that by looking at the picture, the reality of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us when he died for us. And it is here that we have a renewal of spiritual strengthening, a confirmation of the resolutions and the commitments that we've made to Christ because we remember his death. Then lastly, last time, we saw the help that we get from the remembrance of Christ's death and the need for our increase of love for God and our love for our Savior. What better place can we find that in the remembrance of Christ's death? Isn't it true? Isn't it true to you that we often complain in our hearts that we do not love God as we ought? We know it. Our hearts grieve over it. We express it often in our prayers. We do not love you as we ought. He deserves all of our heart's love. And yet we find ourselves so often cold in our love for God. Well, what better place to find a renewal of our love and an increase of our love than seeing what he did for us when he died for us? The hymn writer said it, you know, we have coldly sought his presence. Let us not do that as we remember Christ, the death of Christ for our help, increase our love. Well, those are 5 points that I mentioned last time, but I want to mention some more. There are still more benefits, I think, that we can receive in a remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Benefits for us. Benefits of spiritual growth in the graces that God gives to us. And one of them is this, that great help to strengthen our faith and our hope. Now, we have often expressed that word hope that is ours as Christians. There's not some hope question about it. It is a confirmation. Hope is that expectation of the desire of our hearts, not seen, but we know that it's coming. It's a looking forward with confidence. And that's what we can see when we remember the Lord Jesus Christ. In the remembrance of Christ's death, we are enabled to make this particular application of Christ's death and the benefits that it has for our souls. We have an eternal hope that is ours. And our faith will be strengthened as we remember what we have in Christ and what he has given to us. We have then here at this place the remembrance of Christ, a living hope in the kingdom of heaven, both now and in eternity. And the time comes in God's providence that He takes that last breath from us. And our souls and bodies separate. And we, as individual persons, are entering into the kingdom of heaven. It is based on the reality of Christ's death for us. That's our hope. If you have any other basis for it, you've missed the mark. Because it's only in Christ's death. So, we have great help to strengthen our faith, to strengthen our hope when we come here in the Lord's Supper. Secondly, tonight, another benefit that we have in the remembrance of Christ's death is the help we get in remembering the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it true that we are so able to forget Him? There are days that we will go by, I believe in some cases in our lives, where we forget Him. We forget that He's died for us. We forget His love in dying for us. That's why we're probably tempted the most to get into sin and to yield to those things, because we simply forget Him. It's not enough to have occasional thoughts of Him. It's really not enough to have just on the Lord's Day where we are focused upon Him and our hearts rejoice as we sing these hymns of praise and think upon what glorious promises and positions and blessings we have in Him. But every day, and there are times we need constant reminders. Well, this service will help us every day to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it true that we must have many times where we are seriously meditating upon Him, our gracious, precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? So then, does not the very nature and the purpose end in this ordinance itself lead you and help you to fix your thoughts and concentrate your thoughts more permanently on our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, remembering Him? That's when you can see how He was crucified and He died for you. How important that is. So, first of all, we notice that there's a great help to strengthen our faith and hope. Secondly, we notice it'll help us remember Christ day by day. And thirdly now, another benefit for our remembrance of Christ's death in our remembrance of Christ's death is that help we get to be more thankful for this matchless love that has been given to us. There has never been, and there never will be, a greater love than has been expressed to us by our God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is an amazing, matchless love. Therefore, in doing what we do today in obedience to the commandments and the remembrance of Christ, it will help us to be more thankful. This love He has for you is unparalleled. And there are unparalleled blessings. That means there's nothing that compare with it. Nothing can go along with it. Nothing can match it. Unparalleled blessings that have been purchased for you and has been given to you, has been conferred upon you. And it's in the remembrance of Christ that we find these reminders and the help to be more thankful for Him. Isn't it a shame? Isn't it a sin that you are not more engaged in praising God? When we think of what He did for us, how is it that we cannot let our voices, to the best ability we have, sing praise to His name, lifting up our whole beings to the glory of His name when we remember what He's done for us? So, in this service, it reminds us to be more thankful and to praise Him far more than we have before. Is it a shame and a sin that we are not rejoicing more in Him, rejoicing in Him? But we find ourselves not having to have some kind of activity or blessings that come in a material sense to make us joyful, but simply remembering His death for us to make us feel joy and rejoice in Him because of the great privileges, because of what He has purchased by His own blood, God's own Son's blood, our precious Lord Jesus. You can see the value that we can get to be more thankful and more full of praise when we remember Christ's death. Is it possible that you can sit at this table and not have your souls raised to the highest admiration for His love and mercy to you? The Lord has instituted this service for our benefit, for our good, for the remembrance of Christ and all that it means to us. So it reminds us to be more thankful. It's a help in reminding us to be more thankful for this matchless love. Fourthly, I have five, by the way, just two more. Fourthly, still another benefit we receive for the remembrance of Christ's death is the help we get to maintain a more intimate communion with God, our Father, and a close fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. An intimate relationship. We can find ourselves finding that intimate connection because of remembrance of what Christ has done for us. And isn't there a need for this? Cannot you say that you find yourself often wanting to have that kind of closeness? There are times, by God's grace, and it will always be this way because of remaining sin, when we find ourselves in a special warmth. There's almost something that is beyond us. It is beyond us, naturally, where God's presence is felt and known, and there's an intimate relationship. We communicate with Him as if I can communicate with nobody else. Well, this helps us do that. This helps us to see something of the value of the fellowship that we have with the Savior who died, who's alive today, but He died for us. That intimate relationship that is there. And it is here. It is here at this service, at the remembrance of Christ, that He, our God, sets before you Himself and His love for you. You need something else? Cannot we see then the remembrance of the Lord Jesus in His dying for you? He's communicated that to you. If that is our position before Him, then how we ought to find ourselves free to communicate in an intimate and a close fellowship with Him. That's a benefit we receive from the remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it not here? Have you, I hope, had this experience where you feel your heart expressing your heart's love for Him because of what He's done for you, because of what He means to you. Your desires after Him and your delight and joy in Him can be seen and felt and experienced because we come to this table. We do this on a monthly basis here at Emmanuel. And the purpose is because we are obedient to His commands. And we've determined that this is the best setting, again, on a constant basis for us to remember Christ. And here at this time, we find ourselves then to be again as one of the means. And God uses other means, every service, every preaching. But nevertheless, at this is a time when we find to have that we can have that intimate fellowship with our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it true that you can sense a complaint in your own heart that you do not have, or that you do have, such little and close communion with your Lord? Well, then you must come to this place. Not necessarily this particular service, not necessarily before only the Lord's Supper, but to the place of the remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to this place and receive that which is expressed here. Then you can receive the influence that comes from Him. Because He's promised to be here, and He's promised to... Here is the place where He is to be remembered. So, fourthly, then we have this other benefit we receive from the remembrance of Christ's death. We can maintain an intimate communion with God, our Father, and that fellowship that can come only with our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, finally, one more benefit that I mentioned to you tonight, and that is the benefit we receive from remembering our Lord's death. In remembering our Lord's death, is the great help that you need to knit your heart more closely to the people of God. We have our supper together. We drink the cup together. We eat the bread together. There is something special about the Lord's Supper for the people of God. We believe it's instituted for the Church of Jesus Christ. We are here, and it's together that we come to this supper. There's a special relationship. And so here we find that great help for us to have this close-knit heart relationships one with another, the people of God. That is to have a greater affection. It ought to stir us. A greater love for the people of God, for that brother who's sitting next to you, for that sister who's sitting across, a greater love and a relationship together because we're reminded of what Jesus Christ has done. Do you really love the people of God? As you should. Now, I'm not saying this because I sense that that is not the case, but I do know this, that though it is the reality, if there's one area where the devil wants to enter in, it's going to be doing exactly that, dividing the people of God. So here we're reminded again of that special relationship and that special communication with fellowship we have one with another. Is there somehow a sense, a little bit of sense of alienation in your heart, a sense of lack of affection, perhaps that is expressed to the Lord's people, or maybe to some person? You remember what happened here in the Corinthian church? It's amazing when we think about it. Those who had a lot were eating, and they left some people not having any food at all. There's a severe judgment that came upon them, and the Lord's rebuke came upon them, of course, in this passage when the instruction was given. But it's possible today that we can have this attitude. Our remaining sin in us has this tendency to find anything to try to divide us. There are some people who are looked down upon, or a division is based because of a man's riches, what he possesses. Maybe because of intellect, you're smarter than he is. Or maybe because of personality, he's not like me. And so we kind of click together in a certain person. Or our position in life, or maybe our gift that God's given to us, the abilities, and therefore this person doesn't have that, and so he's just a little bit different, and maybe not up to par. We never say it, but is it possible that could be in our hearts? Maybe a person's appearance. You know, James speaks about that in reference to the people who come in from the world and are judgmental on them. Maybe it's the case with us. Somebody doesn't look quite right, not the way I think. Well, the appearance could be a reason for it. Maybe a person's background. Not like me. Maybe it's his education. He's not as smart as I am, or educated as well as I am, or his status in life. Maybe his knowledge, maybe his interests. These are areas which can enter in and be expressed in some ways, maybe minor ways, but primarily we're talking about our own hearts and our expressions among each other. We are to love the people of God. This reminds us to love the people of God. Do you know how many terms that are used for the people of God in the Scriptures? A number of terms. We have terms like children of God, people of God, the bride of Christ, the household of God, the dwelling place of God, the holy temple, the special people, chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation, special people. Do you know which one is used the most in the Scriptures in reference to the people of God? It's brethren. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And this should remind us of the great value that we have in the remembrance of Christ in our union and our love for the people of God. I again say I am impressed with the way that I see the people communicating here, one to another. It's an enjoyment to me to see the times it takes for us to get out of this building because we're in communication. But nevertheless, I know the evil one could enter in. And it may be that there are these divisions that are in our hearts, and we should not let that be the case. We should learn by this ordinance, which declares to us the love of Christ for all his people. Not just certain ones. All the people. And we should be incited to imitate our Lord Jesus Christ himself, to love the people of God, the brethren. The supper shows us that you should love one another as he, our Lord, has loved you. When you see we are washed in the same blood, that one who's sitting next to you, two, three, four, five down the row, that's sitting next to you, he's been washed in the same blood. When you see you enjoy the same privileges before God as that brother does. When you see that here at this table, you are assured of the same inheritance through the blood of Jesus Christ. The same glory which you're going to get is going to be given to them. Then should not this encourage you to be of one heart with them, of one mind? And recognize that he is with you all the way. He's like a brother, closer than a brother. This should encourage us to be kindly affectionate to one another as our Lord was to all of his church. You know, it's always special for us to be special. If I can be recognized, if I can be known, that's something we like. It's an ingrained thing that's often controlled by sin. But when we come to the people of God, we're on an equal basis. You know how the apostle talks to the church at Corinth and Colossians, or in Colossians and Ephesus. He talks to the people and gives exhortation to the slaves. This is what they're doing. Also to the masters. They were in the same church. They were still brothers in Christ. They had responsibilities in how they dealt with each other because they were equal, as we all are. This should encourage us to remember what we have in Jesus Christ as a body of Christ. It would be a shame to us. It would be a shame to us if we all come together, as we're commanded here in this ordinance which should cement our love for each other, to weld our hearts together, and then we not have a love that the world knows nothing of. It would be a shame. So we should see this being reminded, be ours in a reminder of the Lord Jesus Christ for all of His people. There's strong reason that the individual churches of Jesus Christ should by no way possess or show any bitterness and breaks and divisions amongst them. Because who makes one better than the other? We are one. And this should remind us of that special union. What a joy it is to be able to get up after we have the service and go to our brother and communicate with him with a deep love. He's not like I am. He may be richer, poorer, but he's a brother in Christ, equal with me. He has the same inheritance, same glory given to him, the same position in Christ. And this should remind us of that special place that we have in him. So, what we've done is we looked at what we did 3 months ago, saw the need of being washed and cleansed, reminder of that in the blood of Christ, having peace, a reminder of that which we have in Christ and the remembrance of his death. We saw spiritual life is renewed again in this remembrance of Christ. Our hard hearts are broken and softened. Remembrance of Christ. The increase of our love for our God and our Savior. And a remembrance of Christ at the service. And then tonight we noticed the need to strengthen our faith and hope is in our remembering Christ's death. The need to get a continuous reminder of the Lord Jesus Christ. The need to have our hearts more thankful for what he has done for this, given to us this matchless love. To help to maintain an intimate communion in our fellowship with the Lord Jesus. And then fifthly, the great help it has to knit our hearts together and closely as a people of God. So, if you seriously consider your own frequent needs, graces perhaps that you lack and you need, reflect upon them and your real development of Christian graces in them to participate in this ordinance is a vital benefit for you. It can be a vital means that our Lord uses as we often participate in the remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ. May God help us to do that tonight. And may God help us to find our hearts overwhelmed because of Christ, what Christ has done for us. We have no greater friend. We have no greater Savior. We have the greatest privilege and greatest blessings. And we are privileged as God's people to gather around this table to take these elements as a reminder of what Jesus Christ means to us in all these areas. May God help us to do that.